Yes, there's some question.
Well, this question is something that I've even pondered about myself. In Chinese Krishna group, why there are more female followers than male? Are there any common ground among these followers?
Well, it's because we are followers of the Braja Gopis, Radharani and the Braja Gopis. So you can expect that we will have more female followers. And Srila Govindamars would say, sometimes referencing his astrological chart, it would say, good for daughters, not sons. And he interpreted that in terms of his disciples, but in a delightful way. Once Bhakti Charu Swami was telling Guru Maharaj that the soft-hearted nature of women should make them more prone to Krishna conception, that they would do better. And then Guru Maharaj, it was a light conversation. Charu Swami was making that point, and so I'm saying, well, then perhaps for the ladies be easier. And Guru Maharaj said, no, he said, because of that nature, they can also, I'm paraphrasing now, but he's saying, give their hearts to the wrong thing. It's not in guarantee that the heart will be given in the right place. And Guru Maharaj said, who is a lady here may not be a lady there, and vice versa, and such things we know. As I said, I mean lightly, but now with more gravity, that this is the line. It's Rupanuga line, Rupa Goswami and Mahaprabhu's pastimes, Rupa Manjari, and the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And well, it's a delicate matter. Why Mahaprabhu, he's a sannyasi, and most of his followers, not all, there are so many grihastha followers of Mahaprabhu, but that internal core, they're renunciates. And Avadhut Maharaj and I were just talking about this. Srila Ranganath Das Goswami, unparalleled renunciation on his part. And what's his former position before he becomes Das Goswami? And Gurudev was quoting this in Govardhan when we were there. And notice how in the Govardhan Aratis, he includes Das Goswami references very much. But it said in Charitamritam, Indra Aishwarya Sama, Stri Apsara Sama. So Aishwarya, meaning wealth, opulence, like Indra, Sam, means equal to that of Indra. And his wife, who? Stri Apsara. His wife, his Stri, was like an Apsara, means, a supermodel from the heavenly planets, to try and help people understand what isn't, Apsara. The most beautiful ladies from heaven. So he's saying, that's his wife. He has more money than you can imagine. And his mother and father, they detect in him this renunciation tendency. Not, his heart isn't in it. Right. And I'm sure, India is such a wonderful place. I'm sure this similar versions of this have happened at different times. We even saw on the soap operas some marriages, and then they think one of the partners not so inclined, but we'll see what happens. But in the case of Das Goswami, the parents detecting this, we're told his mother, and perhaps only a mother could say this, she thought we should chain him, shackle him, literally shackle him, put chains, like ankle chain, and chain him to like a pillar in the house. And with a long chain, so he can move around and do things, but he can't leave the house. That was the mother's suggestion. Talk about motherly affection. And she's going to chain her son to a pillar. Because he tried to leave a few times. But so they hired guards to always be watching him, to make wherever he goes, to make sure he's not leaving. But when she made this suggestion, after him trying to leave a few times, about chaining him to the pillar, the father said, Indra Aishwarya Sama Stri Apsara Sama. He's got wealth like Indra and a wife as beautiful as an Apsara. If this doesn't chain him, then what good will iron chains do? He said, for someone who's become such a madman for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like that. He's saying, not like a follower of my, he's saying, someone who's mad for Mahaprabhu, that cannot be checked. Nothing can check that. And then we hear that Raghunath Das Goswami, he's always looking for this opportunity. And we're told sometimes that, and similar with Rupa and Sanatan, that when they're still in the employ of the Muslim government, they met with Mahaprabhu secretly at Ram Kaili, expressed their intent, and very humbly they're approaching. It's breaking Mahaprabhu's heart to see such humility in them. They're giving their dandavats from far away. They have literally straw between their teeth and they're approaching him. And that's what he said, from now on you'll be known as, you know, Rup and Sanatan. But he told them, now is not your time. So go back, go to work, and keep this in your heart. And you know, at the appropriate time, I'll send word to you to come to me, but not at this moment is the right time. And what was the advice he gave them? Paravyasini sloka, he said, like a woman who has a paramour, that she becomes even more attentive to her household duties, to not create suspicion. So he's saying, like that, because sometimes we get these questions and say, well, how shall I deal with my family circumstance? Or, you know, well, this is Mahaprabhu's advice. He's saying, be even more attentive to seemingly being normal. So often people make the mistake in the other direction. They're going to show their relatives, family members, how different they are. Not Mahaprabhu's strategy, saying, no, make everything be beyond suspicion. And at the right time, then you'll come. He said, but like the wife of the paramour, she's more attentive to the household duties, he said, while the whole time thinking in her heart of the paramour. I mean, these are high and wonderful things. These are the words, concepts of Srila Guru Maharaj. And Gurudev would say, how fortunate we are to be connected with him. And Guru Maharaj, to show also that even something that we can think is so high and almost inaccessible, he can apply it. For him, it's instructional how we should live our lives. It's advice in our circumstance. So he said, seeing a parallel and using it as a metaphor, so to speak, he said, and again, we have to make some reference to Indian culture, because in the modern world, people go, oh, we object to this. But he said, but in Indian culture, and not only Indian culture, most of the culture till like recently, however, the world's changed in the last 50 years. They act like the other, you know, like millions of years before that are irrelevant. as these changes are considered to be ahistorical. But that would be a more like academic type analysis that we won't do at this time. And I see everyone going, thank you. But he said, generally, the husband has some demand over the wife. That's the relationship, as we've understood marriage up until recently. Okay, I get it. But this is an example. I hope our viewers can understand, this is an example. Like in school, sometimes you're like, here's the example. They give you an example. You can't modify the example, it's an example. So, the husband has some demands over the wife, and she has to meet these demands in her wifely duties, etc. He said, so, for a devotee, they're like the wife, the aspiring servitor, and karma is like the husband. And so karma has certain demands, like there's someone newly connected with Krishna consciousness or attempting to practice, pursue Krishna consciousness, but karma is saying, wait, you owe me something for all these things you've done up to this wonderful pursuit of Krishna consciousness. I have some demand to assert over you because you and I have a long-term relationship, right? You, me, karma and me. That could be the name of a song or a book. Karma and me. You know, my experience as a conditioned soul. So he said, so the devotee is like the wife, but the wife with, and Krishna consciousness like the paramour. He said, so they're showing, apparently, they're responding to karmic obligations, meeting the demands of karma, showing that. But in their heart, it's given over to Krishna conception. Right. So, anyway, Mahaprabhu, he's mentioning Raghunath Das Goswami. So, what's interesting too is how Raghunath Das Goswami overcomes these karmic circumstances and gets the mercy of Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu. He's like, no, Das Goswami descended from Goloka and with Rupa and Sanatana and they have their internal identity. Yes, all of that is true. But in this pastime, we hear that while still in that village, he hears Nityananda Prabhu is nearby with his followers and Panihati, and with the Chira and Doi, Nityananda Prabhu sees him from a distance and says, Raghunath, you're cheating me. He calls him over and then says, as a punishment for your misbehavior, you need to feed me and my associates. So they have the Chira Doi festival, the flat rice. We had some the other day. Somehow they brought it. It had to be from India. Right? On Gurudev's appearance day, that's when we had some. Like Chana Churna had flat rice and things. But here, they take the flat rice, soak it in yogurt. Some are soaked in condensed milk. Sometimes they're soaking in the Ganga. And then they're putting fruit and sweet. And they have this festival known as the Chira Doi Festival in Panihati. And Nityananda Prabhu and all of his devotees, those Dwadasha Gopals descended, his entourage, so many cowherd boys who are now in Gaur Lila. And they're delightfully eccentric, you know, Mahabhagavatas of the highest type. And we're told there, by the power of Nityananda Prabhu, Mahaprabhu comes, he's sitting there. Nityananda's taking his chirandoi and putting in the mouth of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu's taking from his pot, putting in the mouth of Nityananda Prabhu. They're laughing, they're doing with devotees. Some devotees can see this, others can sense it. It depends on their level of realization. But at this point, Raghunath Das Goswami gets the grace of Nityananda Prabhu. And as we hear from Narottam Thakur, Heno Nitai Bine Bai Radha Krishna Paite Nai. Without the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, you won't get Radha and Krishna. And Nitai Koruna Habe Braje Radha Krishna Pabe. Again, without the grace, compassionate Nityananda, you cannot enter into that position. And this is being shown by somebody who's descended from that plane. Raghunath Das Goswami has his position there along with Sri Rupa in the upper world, but still is showing these kind of pastimes. So after, and at that time, Nityananda Prabhu gives him that benediction, and so does Mahaprabhu, saying, oh, now you've got the grace of Nityananda and the devotees. Nityananda saying, now you've got the grace of all these devotees, surely you will achieve the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Dev. So one night, the Kula Guru, the family guru, in this case is Yarunandana Charja, who's actually a great devotee as well. It's funny, even in the time of Mahaprabhu, the pujari is leaving his seva, and they're short someone. Even in the pages of the Charitamritam, they need a substitute. And so Yarunandana Charja telling this to Raghunath, and Raghunath saying, it's an excuse for him to go outside, and he says, you know what, I'll take care of this. It's late at night, you go home, and I'll personally take care of this for you. Really, yes. You know, Yarunandana Charja go home, and then Raghunath realizes, there's no one watching me. And that's when he starts running like a madman to Mahaprabhu. But this time, instead of going on the direct route, he goes like the opposite direction so that they won't know where to find him, and he's circling around. He's going, 20, 30 kilometers a day, maybe more. Sometimes resting, we're told, in a cow shed. Sometimes someone gives him a little milk, maybe took rice one, two times. Within, 5 to 7 days, he's in Puri. You can just understand how madly he's running to the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. And there he gets shelter and is put under the care of Swarup Damodar. And he's with Mahaprabhu for 16 years in Jagannath Puri. And we're told Swarup Damodar is writing notes in a sutra-like notes in a condensed way about all his observations of the inconceivable behavior and divine pastimes of Mahaprabhu, whereas Raghunath Das Goswami has more extensive notebook. That, and both his notes and Swarup Damodar's notes, he transfers to Kaviraj Goswami in Vrindavan. But there, as Avadhut Maharaj and I were discussing, sitting under a tree, he also wrote books like Mukta Charit, which is this delightful play, pastime of Radha and Krishna and the Braja Gopis and so many sweet, what's the word for clever exchange of speech? It's a French word that's in English. I forget it right now. But anyway, you'll see so many sweet things there, funny things that are humorous. So he's sitting, and what does he take? And a leaf cup, some buttermilk to maintain himself. We're told Srinivasa Charja, and he's saying, Nidra Hara Vihara Kaja Vijito Chetanta Dino Chiyo. How they're sleeping Chauri Danda. A danda is 24 minutes. So it means like an hour and a half a night. Why? It's not like they're doing some kind of a vrat or a vow. They're so enlivened by the internal content of what's going on in the upper world. It's live stream lila flowing in their hearts, which are filled with Krishna prema. So only the minimum they need to maintain their bodies. So the hour and a half of sleep, and Prabhupada say, and sometimes not that, to enliven to even go to sleep for an hour and a half. It's just to keep the body going and taking a little bit of buttermilk. Okay. And how intense is Das Goswami and his exclusive devotion to Srimati Radharani? He gets in one of those leaf plate cups, some buttermilk. And we know, like, I try to remind people too, but in buttermilk in India is not like buttermilk, you know, in California. In California, it looks like a milkshake. You know, you go like, wow. You know. Buttermilk in India, it should be called like butter water. When you're churning butter, it's the water that's left over. And it's a little milky. So they call it buttermilk, but there's nothing milk about it. Looks more like water, like, what's that, like whitewash or something, just cloudy water. It looks more like that. So why they take that is because people who are Gowalas and cowherd, that they've got a lot of. They're keeping the good part, the butter and making ghee and all these other things. The buttermilk, you know, they can give that away by the bucket. So that's what's being given to him, and that's all he's taking. And one day, the leaf cup, it's like bigger, it's a different size, the leaves look a little different. Right? And he's saying, what is this? Where is this cup from? Before he takes it. And they say, the person innocently says, Saki Stali. And Saki Stali means the place of Chandravali and her associates, Radharani's competitors. And when Das Goswami hears that, he throws that leaf cup with the only little thing that he takes. He's that intense. He doesn't want to, you know, he needs to wash his hand from touching it. How exclusive and intense is his devotion to Srimati Radharani. So actually, this line, Srila Saraswati Thakur, when he was in Radhakund, he referred to us as Shuddha Shaktas. Generally, Shaktas means worshippers of Devi, the goddess. But he said, we're Shuddha Shaktas. And usually, Vaishnavas and Shaktas are at odds with one another. Vaishnavas and Shaivites, Vaishnavas and Shaktas, and like that. But here, Saraswati Thakur says, no, we are Shuddha Shaktas. And when that came about was in Radhakund, meaning we worship the Supreme Goddess. So that a lot of the followers would be ladies, it's inevitable and fitting, actually. But when Saraswati Thakur was on the Brajamandal Parikrama in Vrindavan, and actually it was a favorite disciple of his, Guru Maharaj said, pet disciple, and his name was Paramananda. And he was 15, like he was even younger, he was 12, 11, 10, like that. And he used to travel with Saraswati Thakur, and he later became, I believe, Paramahansa Maharaj, at the Mat in Mayapur, Gaudiya Mat, Paramahansa Maharaj. Anyway, and he traveled with him on a train. Once on the train ride, he was hungry. He wanted halwa. And they said, we're on the train, you know, we can't get halwa on the train. And there was a yogi visiting Saraswati Thakur who had prapti, siddhi, of the Asta Siddhi, Prapti is one of them, of eight mystic perfection, one is to be able to acquire something from a distance and produce that. So the yogi in service to Saraswati Thakur, and the young boy is like, I'm hungry, and he produced halava on the train, the moving train in the middle of nowhere. He produced that. Such people were extant at the time. But anyway, that Paramananda, favorite pet disciple of Saraswati Thakur, and Radha Kunda, he came back, he went on a little tour and came back very excited. He saw the Diwan of Bharatpur and his family doing measured dandavats, where you stand up, say a prayer, like, you know, a sloka, then bow down, fully shastanga dandavat, then move up one body length, then stand up again. There are various ways to do that, but it's actually imitative of Goswami's. We're not promoting that, but nonetheless, he saw this being done, and it's, you know, a king and his queen and the family, they're doing this around Radha, Shyamakunda and Radha Kunda. So he came back very excited and he said, Prabhu, they also called Saraswati Thakur something, Prabhu, Prabhupada. He said, they have so much devotion for Radharani. I'm shocked. Because he thought, that's your line and we're your disciples. But to see that in others, I'm shocked. They have so much devotion for Radharani. And Saraswati Thakur said, yes, but there is a difference, a big difference between them and us. And he said, they worship Radharani because she is dear to Krishna. So in their conception, Krishna's in the primary position, Radharani's in the secondary position. But because she's dear to Krishna, they're worshiping Radharani. He said, ours is just the opposite. Radharani's in the primary position and Krishna's in the secondary position. Because Krishna is dear to Radharani, we have connection with Krishna. And then he said, we are Shuddha Shaktas. We worship the Supreme, we're worshipers of the Supreme Goddess, Srimati Radharani, and her group, the Braja Gopis. And the leader of the juniors, Sri Rupa. That's my answer. But we will see in time that they can attract the gents section to also participate. We have, and we should mention, we have many, you know, male disciples as well who are very nice, but it is overwhelmingly female at this point. Yeah.
Maharaj, this question is from Gupta Govardhan. The night before Mahaprabhu left Navadvip to take sannyas, mm-hmm. it is mentioned that a fruit seller came with a pumpkin. Then someone else came with milk at late night. With these ingredients, Sachi Mata cooked sweet pumpkin rice. Why is this seemingly small, trivial story recorded? What does the author want to teach us?
Yeah, that's a good point, because it appears to be insignificant. Right? But Guru Maharaj will tell us consistently, right? It has to be thematically consistent with what we're being told all along. So what is Krishna consciousness about, really? Heart. and love and affection, and the exchange of love and affection from one heart to the other, particularly the finite to the infinite. Right? It's not that there are just many, many different, no, it's all one thing going in one direction. The minute we try to isolate something and think it's going somewhere else, then it's in the wrong current, it's not the right perspective, it's a misunderstanding. All of this, even if we say Atmagyan, which seems you can isolate it about the soul and consciousness and this and that, but then Guru Maharaj, like in his Gayatri, right? Bargo bhai vrishabhanu jatma vivabhai karadhan sribharam, and saying savitur, what is illuminating everything? Someone say, oh, the sun. He's saying, no, it's Atma, the soul. Consciousness, the soul, by kind of gives illumination. Right? Otherwise, it's not that the sun is illuminating everything. Without being conscious, the soul operating the eyes, ears, the senses, then there's no seeing. So it's Atma. But Atma means Jivatma and Paramatma. So he's saying, Om Bhur Bhuva Svat Tat Savitur Varenyam. So there, that world, the Paramatma world, which is ultimately illuminating everything, it is what? Varenyam. It is venerable. It is worshipable. And Guru Maharaj's interpretation means it will never be an object of your experience. That would make it something lower than you. So it can't be approached the way mundane acquisition takes place. You're a subject seeing it as an object of experience, but the inverse is there. Although we're subjects locally, in that world, we're the objects of the supreme subject. Right? And what is it again? I just want to remember my train of thought.
Sachi Mata made pumpkin sweet rice.
Oh, right, Kolavecha sweetheart. So, I understand. So, and that world is venerable, it's the service world, and what does it lead to? Radha Dasya. It's all going in this direction toward seva, which means a heart-to-heart transaction. That which you perceive as higher will be the object of your worship. Worship isn't just some, you know, like say some prayers and bow down, but it's give something and give something with heart. Right? Tene Brahma Hrida. From the heart, it enters the heart, you know, we'll say from Krishna, but through Saraswati to Brahma, Brahma to Narada, Narada Vyas, etc. It's not the transition. Transcendental knowledge is not gyan. Riddayena binugato yo dharmasta nibodhata. There has to be heart. So what is given with heart, what is infused with heart, bhavagrahi janardhan, that's what makes it tasteful. And Guru Maharaj will go so far as to say, and there's like, you know, the way a friend cooks something, it has one taste, the wife, paramour, mother, the same preparation can have a different taste according to the relationship. So what do we find in the pastimes of Nimai Pandit? And it's a very instructional for us that this Kolavecha Sridhar, what kind of person is he? Speaking of the leaf cups of Das Goswami, and we know in it leaf plate, right? So some things are made from banana trees. This is how he maintains himself. So you can understand, he's not rich by any sense. This is like just something where you can just barely survive on, right? He has a business selling these things. And what do we hear? That 50%, even still with this very low income, 50% is on Ganga Puja, and the other 50% he lives on. And Mahaprabhu, as Nimai Pandit at the time, this is when we're and his little scholarly and sometimes arrogant type pastimes, he comes there and likes to bargain with him. And Kolaveja Sridhar is saying, like, I'm hardly making anything as it is. Mahaprabhu, no, but I think you could give me a good price. And he's saying, no, that would be impossible. I can't, for that, why don't you go to somebody else? He goes, because I want to buy from you. And Nimai Pandit's always cheating him. And he always gives in because Nimai Pandit is so beautiful and charming, enchanting. And so he always gives in and allows him to cheat him. Not just get a discount. He's cheating him. And he's allowing him to do that. And that's their relationship. It's like every day, it's going on all the time. What's on sale today? So when Mahaprabhu, it's in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, he exhibits the Mahaprakash, means this divine manifestation where he sits on the throne of Vishnu, and for 21 hours, he's in this deep state of spiritual intoxication and generosity, and he's giving everyone what they want. All the devotees come before him, he's giving Krishna prema and whatever it is that they want, anything. And everyone is approaching him. Sachi Mata, Advaita Charya, so many. But Kolaveja Sridhar comes. And if you remember, when they had the first Nagar Sankirtan, the first, not in Srivasangam behind closed doors, but the first time outside in the streets, right, which is this glorious celebration through the streets of Navadvip, Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Panchatattva dancing, so many devotees. When Mahaprabhu is exhausted and thirsty, he stops at the place of Kolaveja Sridhar, right, who has nothing, right, apparently. There's something, he has the most valuable thing in the world in his heart, but externally he's showing nothing. And he has a pot, but it's a broken pot, which is considered unfit, contaminated, etc. And it's from that pot that Mahaprabhu drinks water to slake his thirst from all the dancing and singing, and all the devotees are amazed. It seems against social custom and what would be appropriate and everything. But these are the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, and particularly his Nimai Pandit. So he'd stop there, drank that person that he's always cheating. So during the Mahaprakash, when Nimai Pandit is on the Shingasan, the throne of Vishnu, and granting all these boons and benedictions, Kolaveja Sridhar comes and Mahaprabhu says, whatever you desire, I give that to you. What do you desire? And with folded palms and a bowed head, Sridhar says, my desire is that Brahman, Nimai Pandit, that he will come lifetime after lifetime and cheat me. That's my desire. That life after life will be in a situation where he can come and cheat me. So showing that type of devotion. So that person who he mercilessly, although supreme mercy from another perspective, cheated and abused like that, the night before he's going to take sannyas, it's that Sridhar who comes to his house with this pumpkin. And he gives that to Sachimata. And that's what the last thing Nimai Pandit ate. That's what he wanted, what was given from him and cooked by Sachimata. So what is this, Shanas? Heart. Who had the most heart? And what could be more, you know, heartily tasteful than what was given by Kolavecha Sridhar and cooked by Mother Sachi? That's inconceivable. Yes, any other question? And that time is coming. Makara Sankranti is January 15th. And then we have the Sannyasmaranam for the Mahaprabhu Nimai Pandit's taking sannyas and his wandering for the first few days until he taken by Nityananda Dvaita to Shantipur, and Sachimata comes, and after fasting for a few days, then taking prasadam. Yes.
In Bilvama Gala Thakur's story, mm-hmm. he voluntarily pierced his eyes because he was too eager to enjoy that woman. However, on the other hand, if that woman's husband had not offered her to him, what is service proper? To offer anything that a devotee desires?
Well, first of all, let us understand, this is Bilva Mangal Thakur. Not just a devotee, but of, you know, extraordinary capacity. And this is his leela. These are pastimes. And when Mahaprabhu was in South India, he found Brahma Sangita and Krishna Karnamritam. And these he collected and brought back with him and would share with his intimate devotees. So, and we're told in his final day, the last, remember, he appears first 24 years of his life before is up to sannyas. That's the primary subject matter of Chaitanya Bhagavat. The next 24, the last 24, are Shesh Leela, means the final pastimes, divided in two parts, Madhya Leela and Antya Leela. Madhya Leela means the first 6 years, based in Puri, but traveling around India, Vrindavan, and other places. Then the last 18 in Puri exclusively, first six interacting with so many devotees, the last 12 behind closed doors with Srup Damodar and Ramananda, relishing Krishna Karnamritam. And the words of Jayadev, Chandidas, Vidyapati, Jagannath Balava of Ramananda, but Krishna Karnamrita. So, as given by Bilva Mangal Thakur. But what we learn in this story, these things have to be considered very carefully. So, and for those who don't know this story, we should say that this Bilva Mangal Thakur, in his former life, he was very addicted to this prostitute named Chintamani. And during his father's funeral ceremony, he was so agitated and eager to see her that he left before his father's own funeral was completed. And we're told on the way there to her place, it's like raining, torrential rain in the rainy season, making a river flood. So the bridge is washed out, there's no way to go. He tries to swim across the river and he almost drowns. Except he clutches on to something to as a flotation to make it across. It turns out that's a dead body that had been thrown into the Ganga. So then so with a dead body as a flotation device, he made it to the other side of the river. Then he's going madly, knocking on the door. No one can hear him. He's climbing the compound wall. And then realize that the vine that he's using to make it over is a python. A big python. And then when he finally knocks on the door, Chintamani opens the door and sees he's a total wreck, a mess. And she looks at him and she's thinking, if you had an ounce of this type of dedication to Krishna, you would be a great devotee. Even a drop of this type of, you know, dedication. And we're told that strikes his heart like a thunderbolt. One type of guru is called Patapradarshak, means the way shower who shows the path. Because later in, we will see, in Charitamrita, I'm quoting Krishna Karnamritam, the verse, Chintamani, Jayasri, how does it go? Somagiri Guruschas. He's naming his gurus. This is in Sinhri, in the very first chapter of Charitamritam. In the guru section, and you think, why is this being given? Because he's revering all of his gurus. Somagiri was, the guru said, Amayavadi. But he learned something about renunciation from him. Chintamani pointed him this, he's showing everyone who helped him go in this direction, he's expressing some appreciation for that. And he refers to Bhagawan Shiki Pinchamoli, who has the peacock feather, as his Shiksha guru. But so that Chintamani, her words, gurus, the absolute descending in relative circumstance, Krishna revealing himself through the words of Chintamani, this penetrated the heart of Bilva Mangala, and he thought, yes, I must give this up. And so he becomes a renunciate, but then he's traveling from one place to another. And he enters, he's being given shelter by a Brahmin and his wife for the evening. And he is attracted to the Brahmin's wife. And when the Brahmin saying, is there anything we can do for you? And he's saying, yes, your wife. And what we see here, and this, it's, you have to understand Vedic culture and its purity and extremity. Extremeness, that one of the qualities of Brahman is liberal. So considering the exalted position of this monk saint, and this is his request, without hesitation, he tells his wife, prepare yourself to receive him. And remember, this is a pastime, but it's showing the liberality of the saint. That's what you asked for? Remember, the sannyasi asked Hadai Pandit for Nityananda Prabhu. And because of the culture, the sannyasi is asking for this, I'm giving my son. Hadai Pandit cried a kunda of tears. Hadai Kunda, he cried a kunda, a pond full of tears. He didn't move for 3 months, he was like a statue. Move, eat, do anything. It was heartbreaking for him to give Nityananda Prabhu because the sannyasi said, I need an assistant, this boy. It broke the heart of Nityananda Prabhu's mother. But this is Vedic culture. So he's saying, this is what I want. And he arranges, tells his wife, prepare yourself to receive him. And he's in the room, the lady comes in, and he says, remove your hairpin. She takes her hairpin out, that means her hair comes tumbling down. And then he takes the hairpin and plucks out his eyes. And thinking that if these eyes are always going to drag me down, the senses are always going to drag me down to the mundane, from the subjective plane, from the spiritual plane to the mundane, objective world, then what value are they? Let's consider the whole story. Right? Then, now he's blind. And he has, you know, a little boy who's his assistant, who he can, like, when he needs to go somewhere, the little boy's there, holds his hand and guides him along. And he's now writing these slokas of, he's going deeper and deeper into internal world, where he's seeing many beautiful and wonderful things. They are chinmoy, substantial things. Writing all those beautiful slokas. One Gurudev liked very much. Kosturi, it's describing Krishna. The tilak of Krishna, the pearl here, pearls around the neck, so many. The peacock feathers, in the end, surrounded by Brajagopis. How beautiful, he looks. It says, Kosturi tilakam lalata palake bakshastale kostubham, the kostubham. Nashagre namamoktikam karotale venam kore kankanam, the way his fingers are moving on the flute. Sarvanga harichandanam, the chandan covering body, chakalayan. Kante chamuktavalim, the pearl necklace. Gopastri pariveshito vijayate gopala chudamani. And surrounded by the Brajagopis, he's like the chudamani. He's the crown jewel, the crest jewel. If you consider all the gopis, like the, you understand? There's so many gopis, and he's the jewel within the center. That's how he looks. These are slokas written by Bilva Mangal Thakur. Jaya, I like this one. Jaya, 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 Deva, Deva, Deva. Tribhuvana Mangala Dibhyanamadeya, Jaya, 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 Deva, Krishna, Deva. Swavana Mangala, Nayanamrita Avatara. The Nayanamrita Avatar is the avatar of nectar for the eyes. And it just goes on. It's so beautiful. Sloka after sloka after sloka. There. And favored by Mahaprabhu, there's a handful of them in the pages of Chaitanya Charitamritam. And so, but that boy is leading him around, and then that boy, little boy who is his guide, decides to play a trick on him one day. So he pulls his hand away from him, and then he's like going like that, and Bilba Mangal Thakur says to the boy, my lord, you may be able to remove your hand from my hand, but you will never be able to remove your lotus feet from within my heart. The little boy was Krishna. That's Bilva Mangal Thakur. So let us consider the entirety of the pastime. Anything else? Prabhu, you have any question?
I had at least one.
Hi. And these are not just legends. That's as difficult in understanding about Indian culture and something like, from the Western world, they could only be legends. But Guru Maharaj said once, Einstein said, people will think that Gandhi, he said in the future, they won't believe that such a man existed. They'll just think he was a legend, you know. So these personalities actually existed. But even if they didn't, if they only existed in an artistic sense, still the lesson would be there and the substance would be there. We don't dismiss stories that we hear. We don't dismiss art because it's not factually true or real. Like the great Russian writers, these stories, whether they're, you know, that it's an actual true story or not is irrelevant. They're more relevant than so-called factually true stories. There's more substance to be found there in the imaginations of these writers. But that said, this is not imagination. Netihasa nikalpanam. Said it's not history in the ordinary sense, neither it is kalpana, the product of imagination. Now what Raghunath Das Goswami is writing, Rupa Goswami is going to, it's like they're writing reality in real time. They're real time live streaming reality, like as if it's coming out of their pen. It's not, well, which, it happened first and then they wrote it, or they wrote it and then it happened? Yes. And simultaneously. We can't allow, you know, our paucity of imagination, because achintikalu ye bhavas natangs tarkena yojayet. Things that are inconceivable or beyond arguing about. If upon hearing these things, they resonate in your heart, that's good. Whether the intelligence or mind can digest it is another thing. Can bypass the intelligence mind, go to the heart. And the heart says yes. Whereas the poet, British poet says, the heart leaps up and embraces that. Jnana shunya bhakti. It's in that sense, non-verifiable. It's who's verifying it? Raghunath Das Goswami, Rupa Goswami. What is your question?
That is not my question. It was on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
From David Ravast. Maybe it was put already, but what is the difference between consciousness and awareness?
Yeah, I answered that.
You answered that. Okay. So, while I was...
I mean, I give a simple example. Because we know, all right, let's just say, for starters, they're more or less the same. But if we want to distinguish them, we could say, in the example I gave, sometimes someone is conscious. I'd say they're studying in a library. They're conscious. Someone's calling them. They're not aware of that. So that shows you how you could, they could be two different things. You could technically be conscious, so absorbed in something that you're not aware of the place is on fire, someone's calling your name, you know, you just missed your flight, you're late, you know, or so many other things. So you're conscious but not aware. I mean, that I'm just responding to his question to give a try what I think is a simple answer. Who is he? I mean, I thought I just described who he was. You mean, who is he in Krishna Leela, or... I just said he is an eternal associate of Mahaprabhu living in Navadvip, who sells these leaf cups. That's who he is. But I think he may have been Sudama Vipra in Krishna Leela. I have to check that. Look, when a king goes somewhere, he doesn't go alone, right? Before the king arrives somewhere, so many others must secure that place, they arrive there. We never conceive of a king as alone. So we don't conceive of Krishna as alone, Mahaprabhu as alone. Right? Even Guru Maharaj says, you know, pranamami charanantika paricharaka sahitam. I worship the Guru with his entourage and associates. So when, just as in Krishna Leela, before Krishna comes, the Guru Varga be there. That means mother, father, auntie, uncle, others. Right? Even Baladev first appears in the heart womb of Devaki, means heart in the sense, right? And why? Because he's making it ready for Krishna. He's also Shingasan, right? So when Baladev is transferred to Devaki, what's left behind is now Shesha, Ananta Shesh, Shingasan, ready for Krishna to appear there. Similarly, in Gaur Leela, before Mahaprabhu appears, then Yashoda, Nanda, but now in the roles of, Nilambar, Chakrabarti, Sachi Mata, uncles, aunties, Advaita, Haridas, Sonia, they appear before him. And an extensive group of associates. So Kolavecha Sridhar, he's one of his devotees. And there are many others, and they're located strategically in different parts of Navadvip, and as the pastimes unfold, they will be there ready to play that part. So, like that. He's an eternal associate of Mahaprabhu, who, as he said in the prayer, let me be born, lifetime after lifetime, where Nimai Pandit, he'll come and cheat me. That's what my prayer is. The pure devotees, they're never asking for something other than devotion. That's what we learn, always. That's what they're asking. And it's echoed in Mahaprabhu's prayer. Mama janmani janmani shure bhavatad bhakti rahai tuki toyi. Whereas Guru Maharaj would render it sometimes this way, being voiced by Mahaprabhu, but saying, certainly because of my karma, I will have to be born again and again, lifetime after lifetime. So what is my prayer? And he's saying, to become free from that karma? No. He's saying, that I'll be born again and again, let me have the association and service of devotees. That's what my prayer is. Not to get free from karma, karmic circumstances, and all these things, to have the association of your devotees and their service. That's my prayer. And that's always the prayer of pure devotees. Hare Krishna.